Hello, everyone, and welcome to Career Explorers, a podcast presented by 91.1 WHFC. If you're not familiar with what Career Explorers is, it is a show where we talk with people in specialty careers that you may not have considered and to shed light on them to see if you maybe want to pursue a career path in one of those occupations. And today, we have a very special guest with a very special occupation. Do you have any interest in living life in the fast lane? Do you live by the Ricky Bobby quote, "If you ain't first, you're last"? Well, look no further, as today I am talking with Sam Brochu, a professional race car driver currently racing in the INEX US Legend Car Series. He's been racing for just over a year now, but he is quite skilled in racing. So Sam, how are you doing today, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, how's the weather down there in North Carolina? Is it good? I forgot to mention he's from North Carolina. He's calling in, if you can't tell.
Yeah, no, it's a little cold down here. It's been cold the last, 4 or 5 days, but I think we're about to get out of this small cold front, and it should get warmer here soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope it does get warm down there, especially, you know, because we're coming close to middle of spring here. Even up here, it's pretty cold. It's windy, especially today, for whatever reason. I don't know why. But, yeah, so that's great to hear. So, Sam, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you into racing?
Yeah, sure. Well, hi, everybody. My name's Sam. I'm 18 from Charlotte, North Carolina. I got into racing from the Pixar Cars movie, actually. I used to watch that all the time when I was a kid and love anything cars. And, you know, I collected a lot of 164 NASCAR diecasts, and I would play with those all day long from, you know, when I was 7 or 8 all the way up to 15. And I have my collection and my collection of the bigger cars. And then I started on iRacing Christmas of 2017. And, you know, it wasn't very good and just kind of took it as fun, just another game to play. And then I actually started getting really good and really competitive and went to my mom not too long ago and, you know, said, I think I could do this for real. Like, I feel like I'm good enough. And so we went racing, and, yeah, it's definitely been a roller coaster. A lot of ups and downs, wrecks, good finishes. But, you know, this year we've got one wreck so far. We've got a win and a second place. So we've got some momentum on our side. And next race is this Saturday, March 18th. We're hoping we can carry that momentum into that Saturday.
Pretty cool that you got a race coming up here. Folks, if you're curious on where Sam races, just tune into Flow Racing if you have a subscription. He races there. Usually at Florence Motor Speedway, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, well, I got another question for you, a follow-up after that first one there. You know, you said you got into racing from the Pixar Cars movie. I'm kind of curious, you know, everybody's got a favorite character from the movie. Who would you say is yours?
Honestly, it's really hard to choose. Because I really enjoy the competitive spirit of Lightning McQueen. You know, he's always wanting to be the best, and he'll do whatever it takes to get to that level. And but I also love the humorous side of Mater, and I have a lot of friends, and you know, a lot of them are really funny, and I've always loved humor even as a kid. So it's really hard to choose, but I feel like since it just ties into racing so well, I'd choose Lightning just because I could, you know, learn off of him a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember watching the Cars movies back in the day when I was a kid. I loved the movies, too. I also collected the diecasts myself. They were pretty fun. I played with them, so I get it, you know. Oh, speaking of which, I had a ton of Lightning McQueen diecasts, too. I'm sure you did at one point as well.
Oof, they're, like, everywhere in my house.
Well, it's pretty cool that you kept them, too. Also curious, you got a favorite driver in racing right now, like in NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, like just in general?
Yeah, one person I really looked up to as a kid was Jimmy Johnson. I was, like, you know, the biggest fan of his. And honestly, I think I kind of started liking him because he won a lot at the time, you know, which I think a lot of kids start liking somebody is because they're good. But, you know, once I started getting older, I understood his mentality more and more. And all he wanted to do was win. And, again, he'd just like Lightning McQueen, he'd do whatever he could to win. So he was definitely and still is a hero of mine. And, you know, he did some IndyCar here and there and wasn't very competitive in that, but his mentality still stayed the same just as in NASCAR. And, you know, with him coming back in NASCAR, it makes me want to spend just that little bit extra money to go, you know, meet him and thank him and, you know, just let him know that him deciding the race just made a huge impact on my life.
Yeah, and, you know, who knows? You might get that opportunity at Charlotte Motor Speedway with the Coke 600 this year because he will be racing in that race.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully he's in the concourse area, and so I don't have to spend $200 to go down into the track.
Like at Daytona, he was in the infield when we went.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate. You were like, man, I wish you could have met him. You know, sucks he's in the infield.
Well, we found that stage a little too late. I think Daytona needs just to they need to specify just a little more where everything is.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. So you've liked Jimmy, what, from an early age, right?
Yeah, I'd say 7 or 8, honestly, maybe even earlier.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool, you know, that you got a hero like that. You looked up to him forever. So that's pretty sweet, and you got a mentality almost like him, I think, just hearing you talk so far.
Yeah, I definitely try to keep that mentality. You know, it's definitely tough watching and then transferring into a race car. Like, it's completely different. And, you know, watching it, you're like, oh, like, I want to win. I want to be good. And then you actually go out and race and realize how hard it is. And then, yeah, it sets you back a little more. But it also makes you drive more and more. Like, you become so hungry to win and to be competitive and to be good. Honestly, I've never experienced anything like it. Like, once I won, I switched from that mindset, you know, am I good enough to win? Now, switching to that mindset, like, I am good enough to win. And now I don't really take things with a grain of salt anymore. I want to be the best. My goal is to be the best. Yeah, definitely watching him and just learning his mentality and where he stands on what he does just has shaped my life in such a meaningful and different way.
Right. Well, that's pretty excellent to hear. Very cool indeed. You know, when you were a kid, like, I'm not sure about this, but did you know that you wanted to be a race car driver, or were there any other, like, career paths that you were thinking of taking before, you know, you ultimately decided that you wanted to become a race car driver? Like, I'm curious about that. So I know you were probably just, like, a casual racing fan back then.
Yeah. As a kid, I ate, breathed, and slept racing. Like, that was it. You know, every Sunday I would have the race on, and then, you know, I'd use my mom's laptop, and I think it was like NASCARDrive.com or something like that. And you were able to view the driver, like some of the driver's cameras. And I just sit and watch. And for 4.5 hours, that's all I would do. But at the time, no, I didn't. I mean, I wanted to be a race car driver. I don't think it was real to me that it was a possibility. Just because at the time we were moving so much between here and Florida. And it never really fully crossed my mind. And then I believe it was 2019, maybe. I still was a racing fan. You know, I loved anything cars. And I don't think I wanted to become a race car driver at that point. At that point, I was, you know, looking more at planes. And I was such a big aviation fan. And, you know, I'd want to go to the airport every day and watch them fly in and depart, and like that was for 2.5 years, that was what I wanted to do. And, you know, then last year I actually sat down and thought about it from, you know, tips from some of my friends, and you're probably good enough to go out and run competitively, and yeah, that was the turning point. Just a lot of support from my friends and encouragement and a lot of input from a lot of different people definitely steered my mind towards that.
Well, that's really cool to hear, you know, the fact that you were able to kind of just become like what you wanted to so quickly and so fast, and just with all that support, it's just amazing to, you know, hear stories like that, especially one like yours.
Yeah, most definitely.
Right. So, yeah, I'm also curious about this. Like, you race the U.S. Legend cars. Would you mind explaining, like, what those are and possibly how you got into your current ride that you're in now?
I'll try to explain it. Basically, Legends cars are, well, I work on them, so I should know the specs. But they're based off of, I believe it's a 1934 Ford Coupe, and they're kind of based off of that. I can't really tell you the engine specs. I believe it's 125 horsepower, maybe a little more. Super lightweight car. Not a difficult car to drive, per se. But, you know, because they're so light, the power kind of differentiates itself and sets itself aside. Driving a Legends car is definitely more on the edge than that I've driven so far and that I've heard people say. And what I've been told is if you can master a Legends car, you'll be good in almost anything, just because it's so lightweight, but it's also got, you know, a good amount of power that makes it a difficult car to drive. And from driving it for almost a year, honestly, it gets easier to drive, and it just comes with experience. But hearing people say it's a difficult car to drive, honestly, I don't really think it's that hard to drive. It's just being able to keep the throttle control and keep the rear tires under you and not get them too hot to where you lose too much grip. I think that's just the problem that a lot of people, you know, assume is where it gets really hard to drive. And yeah, it does. But if you have enough experience to keep the car under you and still be able to be really competitive, you know, you're going to be really, really fast.
Yeah, and I can totally agree with you on that. I've seen you do a couple races on Flow Racing, and you drive the heck out of it. And, you know, driving anything or just doing anything, just building up that skill set, the more you do it, the easier it gets. So you're completely right on that. So I don't think you can take that any different way. You know, I think you're right. Well, you know, I'm also curious about this. Like, you're racing Legend cars, right? It's a team effort. So, you know, how did you find, like, your current team that you're driving for right now? Like, how did that come about? Because that just doesn't happen to anyone, you know?
Yeah, it's actually a really interesting story. So I used to work at a restaurant called Stevens Mill Cafe. It's now Fresh Chef Cafe. They merged the two restaurants. And my boss, her nephew, ran Legends cars. And I didn't know about that until, midway of me working there. And last January, we to Charlotte Motor Speedway for the INEX Winter Heat, where both Legends cars and Bandoleros run. I believe it's 3 weekends, 6 rounds, you know, racing on the road course there. And, I met up with Blake, and we didn't really click immediately, but, like, in a month, we were, like, best friends. And, he kind of introduced me to Kendall and Jeff Sellers. They own AK Performance, the team I drive for. And, you know, we just kind of met up with them, talked pricing, and then we've rented the car so far. But we're currently in the process of buying it, which is going to take, you know, a whole lot of weight off our shoulders, which will be really nice. But, yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting that my former boss would kind of get me connected in racing. I didn't think that at all. And it's honestly kind of funny how just certain people are put in your life at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really neat story you have there. Not everybody gets an opportunity like that, of course. And for you, you're extremely lucky. And I'm sure it's very fortunate that you're able to do this just because of a small restaurant job you had. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely was unexpected.
You know, I heard you mention this guy named Blake. I'm kind of curious on who he is and how he's, like, had an impact on you. Can you tell me a little bit about him?
Yeah, so Blake is my old boss's nephew, who I met at the Winter Heats through her. And we were teammates. Well, we still kind of are teammates. He's going to start running late models this year, as I'm still going to be in the Legends series. But, yeah, we've become really, really good friends over the past year. And you know, he just recently came down from college. He goes to Appalachian State. He's a decent drive from my house, but he was here yesterday. And, you know, we just hung out for a little bit while he's on spring break. And he's actually back in the car, I believe, April 17th or 18th. So that'll be his first time in a car since, I believe, the summer shootout at Charlotte in May. So he's had a decently long break, but I know he's super excited to get back in the car.
Absolutely. That's really cool to hear. You were able to become friends with him that quick, and I'm sure he's taught you a lot, you know, in the short span of time here.
Oh, most definitely. He's an aggressive driver. Like, he doesn't like to lose, and I think that goes for everybody in racing, but you know, he's taught me a lot. One thing he's definitely taught me is just to believe in myself more, have more confidence. That's something that I've always struggled with, is lack of confidence. And, you know, being in a race car, you have to have confidence, or else you're not going to perform well. You're going to, you know, put yourself down more and more. So he's definitely taught me to believe in myself more. And I think that's helped me become the kind of racer I am today.
That's really cool to hear, man. So I remember you saying how you guys were looking at buying the Legends car that you currently rent from AK Performance, which is the team you race for. You said it would take a weight off your shoulders if you did. Like, racing is expensive. I do know that. I got to ask the elephant in the room here. Like, how do you find sponsors, and, like, what would be, like, the pay grade for your level of racing and maybe, like, the top level we're talking about here, like the NASCAR Cup Series or the NTT IndyCar Series or Formula One or whatever?
Yeah, the sponsorship question, I'm honestly not 100% sure, because I can't really seem to find any right now. It's a really, really hard business to be in, because basically you're going to businesses and, in a sense, just asking for money. You know, basically you say, you know, this is who I am. This is currently what I'm doing. This is how you can help. I'll put your logo on my car, and we'll need about this much money to cover, you know, either entry fees or on track fees. And, you know, for my level of racing, you know, it gets more and more expensive the higher you go. So with AK Performance, I believe it's $1,000 a day to have the car. So we normally practice a Friday and race a Saturday. So that's $2,000 right there, on top of paying the employees, which will probably take about another $200-$300 out. And then the race wear and tear really just depends on if you wreck the car or not. If you wreck the car, depends on how bad you wrecked it. If you didn't, then, you know, you'll probably have setup fees, tire fees, sorts of stuff like that. And, you know, that's like an hour, you know, maybe not even an hour. That's like 30 minutes of driving an actual NASCAR Cup car. You know, NASCAR, they have, I think it's $3 million to put a sponsor on the hood of a race car. And then, you know, a race weekend, well, I don't even know how much a race weekend is. I would think it'd be upwards of $50, $60 million. And then, you know, your payout, you know, just depends on where you finish. Like, if you win the race, you know, you'll probably grab a couple million. If you don't, then, you know, you're looking at anywhere from $1 million to $150,000. So it definitely comes down to sponsorship. If you don't have sponsorship, don't even plan on racing up there, just because it's so expensive and it's such an expensive sport. And a lot of, we like to call it a money pit. Like, you're basically just throwing your money in, hoping that you do good. And the money definitely does not guarantee your talent. You know, in racing, you just, you're not guaranteed anything. Just like technically in life, you're not guaranteed anything. So if only the best of the best will make it far. And that's for sure my goal right now, if money allows.
Yeah, of course. So I know you were talking about the payout for like NASCAR Cup Series, like say you win a race, but what would it be at your level? Like say you win a race, like I know you won one recently. It was the, what, the winter heats at Florence, right? No, that's not it. I don't know what it was.
It was the icebreaker at Florence.
The icebreaker. I'm thinking Charlotte Motor Speedway, excuse me.
Yeah.
What would you say a payout for like winning a Legends race is, like at your level?
So when I won the icebreaker, I won $500, but it mainly depends on where you run. So normal weekly Florence payout would be $150, and then second place would be $75, and then third place would be $50. So it really depends on where you run. Like if you run national events and say you win one national race, you're probably looking at like a $500 to $1,000 payout. If you win the championship, then you're probably looking at like a $5,000, $6,000 payout. So it really just depends on where you run.
Wow, so that's not really a lot for like grassroots racing, but I guess any little bit of money helps, especially, you know, since it's just such a money-driven sport and so expensive and kind of sponsor-driven as well, too.
Oh, for sure. It's any money you can get in the sport will take you somewhere.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you know, I remember you saying earlier you were doing like sim racing on a platform called iRacing.com. And if you guys are not familiar with iRacing.com, it is basically motorsport simulation. You can race any sort of like race car you want. You can do Formula One, NASCAR, IndyCar, rallycross, road racing, whatever you do, please. And it is not even close to as expensive as real world racing, as Sam's saying here. However, you know, I know you said you were doing that before you started your Legends car racing here, but, you know, from iRacing and, you know, they say it's realistic. Would you say that iRacing has, like, helped you at all in the sense of real world racing so far with Legends?
Oh, yeah, for sure. iRacing has definitely provided a practice-type thing. I'd say it's been really beneficial for me just because I can learn how different people race, and I can also see if my driving style shapes up to other people's driving styles. Like, I know me and you, we have two completely different driving styles, and you make yours work, and I make mine work, and it's just, it's kind of interesting how it works. And, you know, you don't really think that a game would transfer to real life, but boy, are we wrong. It definitely transfers. Like, a lot of it does. I remember when I got farther down in the Legends racing, and I saw more and more similarities. I remember one race, it was weird because on iRacing, you know, you can, you know, rough people up and door people without really any penalty. And here in real life racing, like, you can't do that. But from iRacing, you can understand space and how much space you can give somebody and how close you can get to them. And, you know, also setting passes up. You know, that's something I struggled with on iRacing for the longest time, was I would always be way too aggressive and I would want to pass that person here and now. And, you know, now what I do is I just wait. I see where I'm stronger. I see where they're weaker. And then I use that to my advantage and start planning. You know, I'll either back up my corner and get a run off corner exit and get to their inside, or I just simply wait until their tires fall off. But in real life, the races aren't long enough for tire fall off. So you really got to be aggressive but playing your passes. For example, when I won the icebreaker, the second place guy jumped one of the restarts and was able to clear me. And there was, I believe, about three or four laps, maybe five, of where he was running faster than me. And so in those 4 to 5 laps, I was taking time to see where he was faster than I was. And he was always faster than me. I believe it was corner exit of 4. And that's where he was always quicker than I was. So then what I would start doing is I would back up my turn 1, and I would get a run center. I would try and roll center speed just a little more than he would. And then I would carry a run out of 2, and then I would be able to charge entry to turn 3 just a little harder than he could. And I was able to do that. I was able to charge entry to 3 just about a car length farther than he could. And then realizing I was faster than him out of 2 specifically, I got a run out of 2 really, really good. And I kind of faked low to get him to look in his left side driver's mirror. And as soon as he did that, he lost his focus on, you know, braking for the corner and hitting his marks. And he slid up the track, giving me the inside lane. And I was able to get to his inside, carry that speed off the corner, and then finally able to clear him coming out of turn 2 the next lap. There's a lot of similarities, and a lot of it transfers from virtual to real life racing.
So it essentially like prepares you both mentally, not really more or less physically, but mentally, like you kind of build up those skill sets which you need in your head to be able to you know, apply those in real life, right?
Exactly, yeah.
That's really cool to hear. Yeah, so I guess before you go real racing, start with iRacing.
Yeah, honestly, it's definitely a good proving ground of your speed and skill.
Absolutely, 100% agree. Well, I know you did kind of talk about this before, but I'll ask you to probably go more in depth here. You know, if you can't do real racing, you know, you have iRacing to do, and it's cheaper. You just have to get like a wheel and pedal set and a computer, and you have to pay the monthly subscription and buy all the tracks and cars. It's a lot cheaper than like buying a Legends car or going to race for just one day or a whole weekend, as a matter of fact. So you have that option, but say you were really hard set on trying to go for that real life career, would you say like is an easy career path to follow, or is it like extremely difficult and kind of like luck based and money based?
It's definitely a mix of both. I'd say the easy part would be racing. You know, because once you get into it, a comfort level starts to grow and you get more comfortable with everything. And then, you know, as time goes on, it just kind of gets easier and easier. And definitely the hard part would be getting into it, because then you need to gather some money and is needed to be able to, you know, find the best team that has the best car and then find the best tracks that, you know, kind of suit the type of racing that you want.
Yeah. It's kind of like what you said before, but a little more understandable. So yeah, that's really neat. But like, anybody can try it though, if they want to, per se. Like, I'm sure you can find a way to pull something together.
Yeah. I mean, if you got a little bit of money here and there, I'm sure any team would be happy to let you test one of their cars.
That's great to hear. Well, you know, since you've kind of, I don't know if you've made it already, but I would say you've made it so far. You know, do you have like a future possibly after racing US Legends cars? Like, do you have like an end goal in mind here? Like, what do you want to do in racing?
So my goal, it's definitely a long shot of a goal, but my goal would be to be a NASCAR Cup Series champion. And, you know, I think my chances of doing that are as good as anybody else's. But it's definitely a really hard goal to achieve. You know, that's, we're talking a champion, like only 74 other people in NASCAR can say that right now. So I definitely want to, you know, make my name in grassroots racing. That way I'll be able to, you know, have the sponsorship, have the skill to be able to go and achieve that goal.
That's pretty excellent. You know, you said 74 people in NASCAR can only say that? Really? Wow.
Actually, not even that many. I'd probably be mid-60s, actually. Well, no, maybe high 50s, because there have been multiple multi-time champions. And, you know, there's 3 7-time champions, Dale Earnhardt, Richard Petty, and Jimmy Johnson. So it's probably in mid to high 50s, actually. So that's not a lot at all.
And there's been hundreds or, you know, thousands of just, like, NASCAR drivers, even in, like, grassroots and stuff, and only, like, 50-something of them, 60-something of them have ever won, like, a Cup Series championship. That's just crazy to think about. Like, you have to be the best of the best to win that championship. And
and hearing those facts just make me want it that much more.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, if I heard something like that, I'd be like, heck yeah, I want to try to do that, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's really cool, though, that you have an end goal in mind. That's awesome. You know, like, some people, I'm curious about this. Say, like, you don't end up making it to NASCAR, but you end up doing, like, a late model career or something, like running in the Cars Tour. If you don't know what that is, that's kind of a late model series, which is pretty much like a national series. It's one of the bigger late model tours out there, and there's been a lot of high profile drivers that have come through there. So say like you do that, would you be opposed to doing that or no?
Not at all. I honestly, like, if I can't race in NASCAR, then I just want to race. Like, you know, racing has been my life since I was 6. So, you know, if it comes down to it, I just want to race.
That makes complete sense. Well, you know, we've talked about pretty much just primarily oval racing here, like NASCAR, Legends cars, late models, all that. But there's a lot of other forms of racing out there. You got road racing, dirt racing, rally racing, you know, some of the series like Formula One, IndyCar, IMSA, like on the roadside. And then you got the dirt side with World of Outlaws, sprint cars, and dirt late models, and even rally, like, I think Red Bull's got like a rallycross championship or something like that. Would you want to race those too? Like, do you have any interest in doing that? Even if you like get out of Legends and you find your way, I don't know, somewhere to one of those teams possibly that wants you and you can make a career over there.
Yeah, I think there's really, for me, an interest in, you know, 90% of the racing out there. When I ran the winter heats at Charlotte Motor Speedway, that was the road course, and I didn't do fantastic, but it was, you know, my first time on the track in that car, and I definitely underdrove it big time. But, you know, over the course of 2-3 days, I was able to, you know, find 5 seconds of time. So I feel like if NASCAR just doesn't work out, or oval racing in general doesn't work out, then, yeah, I'd probably look into, you know, road racing. Rallycross is, like, honestly a no-go for me. I don't think I have the guts to go out and do that, because those guys are absolutely insane and psychotic, risking their lives, jumping through trees and doing all that kind of crazy stuff. But I would definitely look at, you know, GT3 racing, LMP racing, IndyCar stuff. Yeah, that'd definitely be an avenue for me.
Well, that's pretty fantastic to know. Like you said it before, you just want to race anything and everything you can get your hands on, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's definitely a mindset that I have.
All right. Well, that's really cool, Sam. Cool to hear that, you know. You got a plan in place, that's for sure. That's great to hear. Well, I do have one more question for you. You know, you have to be really skilled as a race car driver, and there's a lot of skills which you can't just learn. You kind of just have to have. Well, you can learn them. It's just really tough. So I'm curious, like, what kind of skills physically and mentally would a person have to be a race car driver?
Oof. That's a really good question. Honestly, I don't know if I if I've been racing long enough to be able to answer that in full. I have to say, ooh, that was a really good question. I'd have to say really good hand-eye coordination, as well as multitasking, because in a race car, you're doing like 7 or 8 different things, maybe more at one time. You know, you're one, you're driving, two, you've got to be able to hit your marks. You know, that includes your braking zones, being able to, you know, roll center, get a really good exit and be able to put down fast times. Three would be learning how to race against other people. That's definitely the hardest part, because you could go out and be a, what we like to call a hot lap hero, and be able to put really, really fast lap times down, but you have no idea how to race against other people. And, you know, that's the number one problem, is not knowing how to race against other people. So that's three. Four, I would say, would be calming yourself down. You know, keeping your composure is easily one of the hardest things to do in racing, because in the moment there's so much going on, and it's so easy to get your nerves up and to get in that, you know, panic type, fight or flight type thing. It's so incredibly easy to do that. I've done it, you know, multiple times in a race car, and it's led me to make mistakes, and that's like the leading cause of mistakes, and that's another thing. And, you know, communication is another big thing. If you have really good communication skills, you'd be able to go pretty far. Communication also ties into sensitivity, I guess. Being able to feel everything in the car is like your best friend. You're gonna need to be able to feel everything in the car, whether, you know, if you dive into a corner here, you know, both ends of the racetrack aren't going to be the exact same. You know, they might look the exact same, but they're going to act completely differently. And so to be able to feel that and to be able to relay that to your team is such a huge thing. You know, everybody has a different driving style. Everybody's going to want either a tight car or a loose car or a stable car, you know. But it all falls into a gray area. Like, for me, I like a stable but loose car. I like a car that will turn, but I also don't like a car that will get really snappy on exit. But my friend Blake, he likes a car that gets really snappy on exit. He likes to be able to drive it off of the right rear instead of, you know, being closer and closer to it, tightening up really bad in the center of the corner on entry and not being able to turn. So there's so much that just goes into racing. It almost just kind of falls down to a natural talent type deal. And, you know, if you don't have that natural talent, that's okay. You're just going to kind of be behind a little bit. But if you have the willpower and the discipline and the desire to do so, then, you know, I don't see why you couldn't go out and learn those skills and become fast.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head there. That's exactly what I was looking for. Perfect. Well, it's been fun to learn about, you know, your job and what you do. It sounds like you just have a ton of fun doing what you do as well, and I hope you make it far. Absolutely. Like, really, I do.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, it's definitely a blast. I look forward to every race weekend. It really sucks when we can't race, like when it rains or something, or they just cancel the race in full. That kind of sucks, but, you know, every race is just like a new one. Like, I never, once I'm in the car, I don't pay attention to the past races. You know, I try to move on as quickly as possible, and yeah, you get hung up on some finishes and some wrecks or some races here and there, but you really just gotta move past those and as we like to say, keep digging, because that's the only way you're going to get far.
Absolutely. Well, that's perfect, and that's really cool to hear, man. Well, you got anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we sign off here?
I appreciate every one of you guys for tuning in. This is definitely not a normal thing for me to do, but I'm really happy to be here. You know, if you want to follow me, keep up with all of my racing stuff, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at Sam Brochu Racing. That's S-A-M-B-R-O-C-H-U Racing, all one word. So you can find me on there, keep up with everything that I do. I post a ton on Instagram and Facebook. So those are my two main platforms. I use Twitter occasionally, but yeah, if you're interested in keeping up with me, you can find me there.
That's really cool, Sam. Folks, I think that's all we have for today here. Sam, thank you for coming on the show today. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Yep, thank you. You as well.
All right. Well, if you're interested in racing, of course, go check out Sam. He's got a lot more coming up this year and in the coming years, too. Like he said, at Sam Brochu Racing on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever social media. And he's got a YouTube as well. I don't think he posts much on there. Also, go check out your local short tracks. Virginia, Maryland, if you're listening to that area, we got a couple speedways you can go to, like Sandy Hook Speedway, Dominion Raceway, Cecil County Dragway, road courses too. We got Virginia International Raceway in Virginia too, and a couple dirt tracks, which I don't necessarily know the name of, but go check them out and see what kind of connections you can make there, because connections are also very important in racing. I'm sure Sam could probably tell you that too. He kind of alluded to that,
yep.
You know, with his connection with Blake, like he said.
Connection, a big part in racing. Like if money isn't the number one thing, then connection sits very high on the podium.
Right. Get those connections, go talk to the drivers, crews, and I'm sure you can probably pull something together. Anybody can do it. It's tough, but anybody can do it, like I just said. Well, thank you all for listening. I am your host, Riley Mirabello, signing off from Career Explorers, reminding you to stay positive. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.